Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Inc. Proudly present, no borders, no race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. King Baby Duck here. So I wanted to give you guys a quick update on the panel that I am working on with Wicked Anime and 42 Believer. Now, I don't want to share much about the panel just yet, other than the fact that it's going to be really badass. But I do want people to know that as of this moment right now, we have been waitlisted. Now, as this is Anime Boston, this is pretty normal, as only a couple of panels are approved right on the spot. They then have to put into consideration the ones that guests wish to hold at the event, and then they can start filling in the blanks. Fortunately, as this is going to be an 18-plus panel, the odds of us getting in are pretty good, as there usually aren't a lot of 18-plus panels that are submitted, not to mention ones that have been thought out and prepared. Not to toot our own horns, but I think we've got something planned that'll be remembered for years to come. Although, I am a bit nervous because I've never hosted the panel before. The closest thing I've ever done was that one time when Blonic and I hosted a small coffee house concert a while back, but not a lot of people showed up for that. So, for now, it's time to play the waiting game, and what better way to pass the time than to start spinning some music. Remember, if you like what here, please be sure to support these artists by buying their music. And you can find just about all these releases on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, Bandcamp, iTunes, the official websites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with a track from Aya Hirano's latest album, Vivid, which I thought was a really good step forward for her singing career. You can read my thoughts on the album on B3Crew.com. This song is called Up to Date.
Like かしい問題なんてないよ。一人じゃない誰もが一緒だから、手を叩け声を上げて、 Up to back to day to up to day、 何かが始まる日がまた昇るたび、決めも振らず走り出すこれからのメロディー、裸足のままで駆け抜けるあの空の上、息を吸い込んで覚悟を決めたなら走るだけ、新しい明日だけ目指して向かって響け、Up to day
Summer's gone and the light is low. That's the time I remember I love. When the spring is here and the autumn's gold, memories that I long and adore so much. Touching your desire, loving, holding you.Steal away in a moment of bliss, in a golden fire, everything we do, loving you in a dream with a kiss on my lips, summer love. Is it a fantasy? Do you belong to me? A summer melody, awaken from a dream, from a dream.Summer's golden light, like a hand that turns all my sadness to joy on my face. Summer's golden bright, like a hand that burns. Our sadness has now been replaced with a love, a summer love. Is it a fantasy? Do you belong to me? A summer melody.Awaken from a dream, from a dream. I remember your face and your loving embrace. In this dream that we've made, I fall in summer love, oh summer
accompanied by Jose James. That was Soil and Pimp Sessions with Summer Love. That comes off of last year's album Circles, which features many collaborations with Ringo Sina, Miavi, and Bonnie Pink, just to name a few. I know I've said this many times in the past, but Soil and Pimp Sessions is the best jazz band on the planet. No living person right now can match with the sort of energy these guys bring. The world lost a true comedic legend last week when Harold Ramis, who brought us such classics as National Lampoon's Animal House, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, and Stripes, passed away at the age of 69. The man responsible for some of the greatest quotes in movie history has left a giant hole in the comedy realm, and it's going to be a long time before someone comes around and fills it. As Bill Murray fittingly said, he earned his keep on this planet. Like everyone in my age, the first time I was introduced to his humor was with Ghostbusters, which will forever stand the tests of time so long as humanity exists. The jokes, the funny scares, the Twinkies, and the horrors of Zool. It was the perfect comedy, the ideal even. I even loved Ghostbusters 2, although it wasn't as much of a breakthrough as the first one, but it was still great. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to get a third incarnation, and yes, I am talking about 2009's Ghostbusters the video game, the absolute best movie-based title ever concocted. If you've never played it, then you're missing out on the final part of this beautiful trilogy. You know, one of my fondest memories of a Harold Ramis film came in the form of seeing Caddyshack for the first time. Another perfect comedy, in my opinion. I was 5 years old and was excited that at my age, I was going to see an R-rated film. We had it on VHS and was one of the greatest things my eyes ever saw at the time. And while I was too young to appreciate the love of boobs, which wouldn't be awakened until Michelle Pfeiffer played Catwoman, I loved the gopher, the baby Ruth in the pool, stepping on a duck, and Rodney Dangerfield blaring rock music on his golf caddy. To this day, there isn't a movie that can compare with the comedy of Caddyshack. It's still on the pedestal, and I don't think it's ever gonna be knocked down. So, from the bottom of my heart, and I hope all of yours, let us pay tribute to the late Harold Ramis. And you can probably guess what's coming up next after this segment is over. Your comedy was irreplaceable and will forever be cherished till the end of time itself. And as groundskeeper Carl says, that's all she wrote. Why don't we do this right? You know this song. You're starting to do the gopher dance. It's from Caddyshack. This is Kenny Loggins with I'm All Right.
世界の創造切り離された衝動 No more ignore まるでアンバランスに揺れてる感情を渦動へ確かめてこの夜を駆け抜けろありふれた孤独でいいただ傷つけ合うくらいなら閉ざした心の隙間こぼれ落ちそうな悲しみ消えないよ
Persona Trinity Soul. Flo have a new album coming out on March 26th called 26 Agogo, and it was just announced that there will be four new Persona titles coming to America these next 2 years. Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, Persona 4 Dancing All Night, and the long-awaited Persona 5. I'd be lying if I said I initially had high hopes for the upcoming Godzilla film, as I still have a lot of bad memories of that horrid 1998 remake with Matthew Broderick in it. And though I was kind of impressed with the teaser, it still hadn't won me over. But this new trailer that just came out, I think we may be in the clear for this one. What I liked about the trailer is that we don't see much of the monster. We see the back, and we see the feet, and it's not until near the end when we finally see the face. And what I love is that they kept to the original design. More importantly, they are treating it as part of the original Godzilla canon. They make mention of the first monster appearing back in 1954, which was when the first film was released. There's also a part in the trailer where it looks like another creature is falling from the sky while a jet crashes into the ocean. It's a split-second sight, so you might have to watch the trailer a few times to catch it. Since this is Godzilla canon and not a reboot, I'm curious to see if other monsters from the series will appear. There are bones of another creature seen, perhaps of the original Godzilla, and this new one is its child. But what if some other creatures? Is that Mothra or King Ghidorah that's falling from the sky in the trailer? I honestly can't say, but at the very least, I'm excited for this film. Now, what I'm really hoping to see, depending on the success of this film, is that we'll see a true emergence of the kaiju genre. Last year's Pacific Rim was a great starting point, so maybe we can see a new Ultraman, or finally give us that kaiju film we've been asking for the last few generations. Godzilla versus Gamera. We all know we want that movie to happen, but at the very least, we are getting that epic battle between the King of the Monsters and Bryan Cranston. That alone is what's going to get my ass in that movie seat on opening weekend. So why don't I try another listener question? I know this hasn't worked out in the past, but I'll give it another go this week. And what I want to know is, who's your favorite kaiju and why? Is it Godzilla, Gamera, Mothra, Mechagodzilla? Write your responses to the bastards at BostonBassBrigade.com, and we'll read them on the show. Up next, we got Eastern Youth, who will be one of the many artists paying tribute to the band Bloodthirsty Butchers on one of the upcoming tribute albums. From 365 Step Blues, this is The Red and Back.
See you.
Deerhoof with Secret Mobilization from their Deerhoof vs. Evil album. They are currently heading the European road, and odds are, as festival season comes upon us, they'll be hitting a few events in our neck of the woods. Alright, guys and gals, it's time once again for another edition of Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nyongo. And remember, if you have any questions for Sawa Sensei, be sure to write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa Sensei. Usually I say this after this segment, but Sawa Sensei will be introduced in the next song because she had a little bit of a hand in it. So, without further ado, take it away, Sawa Sensei.
Hello there, bastards. Konnichiwa. So, March is here. Spring is there, right around the corner. In Japan, there's a very popular event on March 3rd. Hey, by the way, 3 is my favorite number. Anyway, first I'd like you all to try hear this song. I chose the original traditional version today. It's written by Hachiro Sato back in 1935, and it's been said that he wrote this song when he bought Hina Ningyo for his daughter. I'll tell you about Hina Ningyo later, but please imagine it's something like traditional Japanese doll, but very special doll, particularly for March 3rd. Song, isn't it? The lyrics was written by Koyo Kawamura, who is very popular as a lyricist of children's song. I know it sounds a bit sad because the key of the song is minor, but many Japanese traditional songs are written in this way, which is called Yonanuki style, which is formed only by 5 keys: A, B, C, E, F, and A. Sounds like Japan. Did you know many of the Scottish songs have similar constructions? So, it sounds sad a bit because it's a minor, but it's not a sad song at all. It actually describes about the Hinamatsuri in a very graceful way. So this Hinamatsuri is held on March 3rd every year, and is to celebrate the Girls' Day, or the Festival of Dolls. People display graceful dolls in ancient court costumes on a tier of 5 or 7 shelves covered with scarlet cloths. These dolls represent the emperor and empress, the court ladies, the ministers, and the court musicians. The girls are expected to be as elegant as these court ladies. Young girls wear their beautiful kimono and get together before the display and have a good time, like eating sweet rice cakes, which we call here hina arare. And grown-up lady, or people, guys too, drinks white sake, and we call it shiro sake. It is also known as a peach festival because during this season, peach flowers start to bloom. And that's the way how Japanese people know the spring is coming. I saw some of my friends on Facebook posting pictures of peach flowers last weekend. I guess we're soon saying goodbye to the cold winter days. I still see some remaining of snows on the street, though. Well, let's move on to Nazo Nazo today. Yes, it's onomatopoeia quiz. Do you remember that? It's a quiz that you're gonna guess what it means from Japanese onomatopoeia that I'm gonna say now. Okay, what do you imagine from Japanese onomatopoeia? Waku waku. Waku waku. Or if I say it with more emphasis on it, it's like waku waku. Well, it describes the feeling of excitement, like heart trembling with joy. And also, there's a similar expression. And here's another onomatopoeia quiz. It says, doki doki, doki doki. It's like a phonology class. But can you guess the difference from the sound? Doki doki and waku waku. For the doki doki, I found English onomatopoeia to describe the same. And it goes thump thump or pit pat. That's the way how the heart beats. So with doki doki or thump thump, I'd like to play another song today. It's one of my newly written lyrics, which came out on February 12th. Well, I am Sawa Sensei here, but I work as a lyricist too. So this song was released as a B-side song of Yoko Hikasa's fourth single. She's a very popular Japanese voice actress who became very, very famous after doing the voice of Mio-chan. Mio Akiyama, who is a bassist inside animation, and she also sang the anime theme, which was one of the most favorite songs from that animation called Don't Say Lazy. I happened to be her stand-in vocalist, which was like pre-recordings before the real recordings long years ago, and that way, that was my first contact with, indirect contact with Yoko Hikasa. And the A side of this single is opening theme of the animation X Futurize. As I often do, I hid a story between the lines this time again. Maybe you can figure out what story I put underneath the lyrics, because most of the part of this lyrics are written in English. And probably the biggest hint is numbers, which is universal language. And Yoko-san sang it really, really nice. The title of this song is Teku no Horika. Teku no Horika. See you in the next episode. Bye-bye, everyone. Mata ne. Yes.
Time is ticking down.
High Lows with Supersonic Jet Boy. The High Lows were the first band Hiroto Komoto and Masatoshi Mashima started up after their legendary band The Blue Hearts broke up. And you can currently see those two working together in their most recent group, the Cro-Magnons. You know, I still hold out hope for some sort of Blue Hearts reunion, you know, considering how many artists over the years that they've influenced, and the fact that they don't play any of the songs from that catalog in their current group. I say it is well overdue. Like every anime fan around the world, I have been patiently waiting for new news on the upcoming Sailor Moon reboot, which is due to be debuting later this summer. Earlier this year, Toei Animation began finally letting out some announcements regarding some of the fine folks that will be bringing this series to the world. In January, they revealed that the director of the series would be Munehisa Sakai, who also directed almost 130 episodes of One Piece. They also said that the person writing the adaptation of Naoka Takeuchi's beloved manga would be Yuji Kobayashi, who helped adapt Smile Precure and Saint Seiya Omega. Last week, they announced a few other staff members for the new Sailor Moon anime, with the first being of its character designer, Yukie Sako, who has worked on such anime TV and films as The Big O, Code Geass, Princess Mononoke, and Yankoi. A very impressive resume, if I say so myself. For art directors, we have Takashi Kurahashi and Yumi Hokasa, who have both worked on Gatchaman Crowds, Comic Parody, and the film Buddha, The Great Departure. Again, the works certainly speak for themselves. Finally, they announced that composing the anime scores would be Yasuharu Takanashi, who has penned the scores of some of my favorite series such as My Bride is a Mermaid, Gantz, and Ikitosen. So now that we know who is helping bring this new Sailor Moon anime to life, does this mean that we can rest easily and expect this new show to be great? Well, to be honest, I still have my doubts. We've yet to see any animated teasers, nor has there been a solid idea of what these characters are going to look like. Though you would think that by now we would have been like shown something in some shape or form. You know, I'm also concerned about what the show is going to look like in its animated state, as it's going to be a web-exclusive series. You know, granted, Flash animation has evolved greatly since the days of Homestar Runner and Joe Cartoon, but I fear that if it went that route, it wouldn't look as good as more of a traditional animation style. But we can only speculate from here on out on what this new Sailor Moon anime is going to be like. Maybe in a month or so, we'll finally see some sort of teaser that'll give us insight on what this show will hopefully be delivering to us in the summer. Until then, we can just imagine what sort of greatness or disappointment will be delivered to our computers. Up next, we got Death From Above 1979, who are currently writing their second long-awaited album. Here's something from their breakout debut CD, You're a Woman, I'm a Machine. It's called Turn It Out.
Yeah. その翼で飛んでたい。希望未来語るだけじゃネバーランドは見つからない。高い高い塔の上、羽もないまま飛んでやれ。無限余力ピッタシなら既存なルール疑いながら、夢を夢と笑うやつを殴りたいと叫んでた。無双無害そんなやつが好きと言うなら、ご勝手に Alright 期待だいと思って、嫌い嫌い大空へダイブ、ほら羽が生えて。
Latest album, Kuchu Puzzle, that was Kotoko with Damare Yo Pita. She is gearing up for her 10th anniversary tour, which will be starting in Japan sometime in April. So be sure to check her out if you plan to visit Japan anytime soon. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our dear friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can like us on facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and The Issues Program. Next week will be the annual No Borders, No Race South by Southwest Festival episode. Bands from Japan, Korea, the UK, and our local shores will be featured in this episode. None of the usual banter I've been doing on the show, just introducing you to more great bands and spinning their tracks for all of you to hear. Man, I can't believe it's already been a year since I've done one of those episodes. You know, in fact, we're going to end this week's show with Okamoto's, who was part of the South by Southwest Japanite tour back in 2010. This is from their self-titled release. It's called Give and Take. And until next time, this is Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.